proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible study. We continue with our series about Paul's message to the people attending the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, a message recorded in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. After his discourse about the early history of the Jewish nation, Paul addressed the main theme of his message, the person and work of Jesus Christ. He recounted several salient facts related to these things, as well as the Savior's atonement and his resurrection from the dead. Paul cited the testimony which John the Baptist offered about Jesus Christ, testimony which he gave at the beginning of the Savior's public ministry. On that occasion, John said, quote, "There cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose," unquote. Coupled with his confession about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, an admission contained in the first chapter of John's Gospel, John the Baptist acknowledged that Jesus Christ was a greater person than he was. Paul then spoke about the death of Jesus Christ, how the religious leaders and those Jews who dwelt in Jerusalem rejected the Savior's messianic claims, quote, "because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day," unquote. They delivered Jesus Christ unto Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, and cried out for the Savior to be put to death. Yet, as the apostle put it, quote, "they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain," unquote. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was, quote, "delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God," unquote. The words that Peter used when he spoke on the day of Pentecost. The Savior's friends placed his body in an unused tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea. Isaiah prophesied about this circumstance when, in the 53rd chapter of his book, quote, "he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death," unquote. Isaiah also foretold that Messiah would continue to flourish even after he had died. Quote, "when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand," unquote. David likewise wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Psalm 16 when he wrote, quote, "thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption," unquote. Peter cited this prophecy on the day of Pentecost, asserting that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of David's words. Paul also alluded to irrefutable proofs of the Lord's resurrection, which he gave to his disciples. Quote, "he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people," unquote. When writing 1 Corinthians 15, Paul elaborated on these post-resurrection appearances. Quote, "he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time," unquote. Paul would then confront his hearers with a choice. They could either turn to Jesus Christ, or they could spurn Jesus Christ. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.